Lima. It seems that people are getting a lot more serious about dealing with the issue. And I think there's only one reason for that. And that is because we're undergoing abrupt climate change and the climate system is going to hell. And we're seeing all of the, you know, threats to food supply. We're seeing droughts places. We're seeing more and more cities succumbing to the climate casino. The negative aspects of the climate casino are being flooded out or something. There's an enormous economic impact on infrastructure, and it's happening now. It's not happening 20 years or 50 years or 100 years in the future. It's not happening with our grandkids. It's happening right now.
And that was an excerpt from Radio EcoShock with host Alex Smith. He was speaking with Radio EcoShock correspondent Paul Beckwith about the Paris climate talks. You can hear the whole interview plus a different response from Lindsay Allen by going to radioecoshock.org and clicking on the program called Climate Hope and Tragedy. That's Radio EcoShock, Climate Hope and Tragedy. And next we're going to go on to Flashpoints, where the topic today is homeless, hungry, and under attack. All this happening on KBOO, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM on the internet. We're going to hear one announcement and then we'll get right to Flashpoints. Thanks for tuning in today. By the way, thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, please go to KBOO.FM and click on Donate Today to join us.
Tune in the fourth Monday of each month at 11:30 a.m. to Voices for the Animals.
We discuss the latest news and trends in the animal world
and the role of activism surrounding the issues of animal rights.
That's Voices for the Animals at 11:30 a.m. on the fourth Monday of each month on KBOO.
Flashpoints, homeless, hungry, and under attack. We'll have a special report on the crackdown on food not bombs in Santa Cruz and on free food givers across the country. Also, we'll hear a report back on the continued crackdown on the poor and homeless in Berkeley, California, and in Oakland, California, an innovative, truly green vision of housing and land use for the homeless. I'm Dennis Bernstein, all this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Today, the entire show is dedicated to the homeless, the poor, and the crackdown across this country from coast to coast and border to border on people who have been forced into the streets, have been forced out of their homes, have been brutalized by wars and you name it. We're going to take a close look at this. Meanwhile, city policies in the cold, rainy winter are putting a chill on the homeless of Santa Cruz. The photos accompanying various articles are terrifying. City leaders there are simply showing no mercy when it comes to the suffering of the poor and making it more difficult. Joining us to talk about that is Keith McHenry. He's a co-founder of the global organization Global Food Not Bombs. He himself is now facing charges. He joins us from Santa Cruz. Keith McHenry, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I'm right now outside of City Hall and we're sharing food and it's been pretty amazing response, which is unfortunate because there's not enough food in Santa Cruz that's at least accessible by people living on the streets. So, it's incredible. And the people that actually made most of the food are people that live on the streets. There was like six volunteers that are homeless that did all the cooking, and me and one other person that kind of helped, you know, bring the stuff. And they're under attack in this town. People living on the streets. There's new laws just in the last couple of years that have been strengthened or made brand new laws, or they've done mosquito boxes, which are these horrible sound machines they put under the bridges and in parks that just turn on automatically and drive people out of the areas because you get nauseous and a headache. And they got stay away orders that city employees can just ban you from parks for up to half a year at a time, and you can end up getting a, you know, year sentence if you violate these stay away orders. We're just a random, you know, employee just announces that you can't be in a park or at the beach or in front of City Hall for like one day, a week, or a month, or half a year.
Who makes these sound machines?
And they're actually made by, they're called mosquito boxes, and they're by a corporation in British Columbia. And cities in the United States buy them, to, not for mosquitoes, something like that. They're bought to drive people out of parks and out of public areas.
So they're buying, they're importing and paying for mosquito machines to treat the homeless, to treat the people like mosquitoes.
Yeah, like they're like pigeons and or some kind of vermin that should be just driven away, that they don't have any human rights. And then to top it off, what had happened is that there was there's this chaos in the homeless services in Santa Cruz. You know, a lot of people here are like work at Google and Yahoo, eBay, Facebook. You know, this is one of the wealthiest places in the world. And yet what they ended up doing is there was some federal funding that was cut to the Homeless Services Center, something that apparently people knew about for years, but they announced it like a month before the cut, that like suddenly it was a surprise they had $600,000 less than they thought they would, and they shut down the emergency services. So the meals for like hundreds and hundreds of people just in early July, late June, disappeared. The showers disappeared. The mail service for a while disappeared, but came back, although at a much more limited level. And then around 50 employees were fired that were dealing with the homeless services. And so it ended up being like a total crisis. And two people living at the shelter, when they got their eviction notices, ended up getting hit by cars and killed. The local homeless people said that they were basically depressed and freaked out and didn't want to go back out on the streets. One case, it was a woman, a middle-aged woman, who got hit by a car. I don't think that case ever has been even solved as a hit and run. And so there's been such tension in the homeless community in Santa Cruz. And, you know, people, contrary to what people believe, these people have been here, many of them, for their whole lives. And often like, you know, 10 years, and many of them actually owned homes in Santa Cruz, but during the home housing foreclosure crisis were lost their own places, or their renters that lost their places because their landlords were foreclosed on. So it's the broader economy is definitely at the root of this, but the city government does really nothing but make anti-homeless laws rather than spending its energy trying to solve the problems. And I've been down here, you know, when I was first arrested in 88 in San Francisco, there was a group of people called Soup Without a Permit down here that were being arrested for feeding people. So I started coming down here in solidarity with them, and I met the homeless activists back then, and they were advocating, you know, permanent housing for homeless people. They're advocating, you know, showers, advocating better access to food. And they end up getting, actually, the Homeless Service Center became part of their whole campaign. They eventually, that was built. But now it's being gutted, and homeless services are being, you know, just decimated in Santa Cruz. And at the same time, they're increasing the criminalization of people living on the street.
And I know that food...
We've had a sleep out every week here at Tuesday in front of City Hall to try to, you know, impress the community that they should actually spend some of these millions and millions of dollars that they have on helping homeless people.
Did you say you have a sleep out every Tuesday?
Yeah, every Tuesday night we sleep out overnight. And what has happened up until recently is that the city government was bringing out floodlights on generators and blocking off the streets around City Hall. These loud generators with these bright floodlights would be on us. They'd come with like 20 cops at right at 10 o'clock or not long after, which is when the City Hall grounds is it's illegal to be here. And then they would start writing tickets for and so on. Now, their new strategy is they dug up all the grass. It's a big muddy mess all around City Hall now. And a lot of people were getting ticketed for being in the park after hours, jaywalking. And then I had a jaywalking ticket that evolved into a misdemeanor, failure to obey an officer, where the witnesses say that he never even talked to me. And it's like the middle of the night on a little tiny side road with no traffic. And because they block off the side near City Hall with their floodlights, we park across the street, and somebody wanted a piece of cake. I was donated a bunch of chocolate cake. So I went to my van, got a knife, came back, and cut the cake up. And the person was like so excited to get some cake at like midnight. And so I got busted for that, facing that could be like a year in jail. It's pretty,
So you're facing those charges right now. Those are just current. And all right, let me just say we're speaking with Keith McHenry. He's the founder of Food Not Bombs. That's a global movement to give food to folks. And let me just briefly ask you to take a minute and talk about the fact that this is happening, this crackdown against the poor and the homeless, against the hungry, is a concerted effort. It's happening across the country. We're getting reports of it going on everywhere. What are you hearing from Food Not Bomb branches in other parts of the country?
Well, they are. They're making laws across the United States against feeding people outside in city parks. And we keep hearing of new cities getting these ordinances. And then, you know, there was a pretty famous campaign against Food Not Bombs in Fort Lauderdale and against Mr. Abbott, who had been, since his retirement, feeding the homeless and teaching people how to prepare meals for the homeless. That's what he's done his entire retired life for like 20 years. So there was that crackdown there. But Raleigh, North Carolina, they tried to stop us there. They tried to stop us in Dallas, Texas. Oddly enough, they just passed a law against feeding people there outside. You can feed people outside. What their new strategy is to make it so hard for you to get the permits and all everything to feed people, and limiting it to just a small amount of time. The Orlando law, which I was arrested for, they basically you could do it twice a year per park. And you had to have all these permits. And the parks, many of them were not even accessible to homeless people. You had to go through people's yards to get to them. There's lots of beautiful little lakes and stuff like that in Orlando. So it was completely ridiculous, this ordinance that they had. But that's kind of the trend now. So in Dallas, Texas, you can ultimately, if you spend all this money and all this energy, feed people every once in a while outside in Dallas.
So people can people can eat a couple of times a month,
or a year even. I mean, it's like basically in Orlando, it's twice a year you got to eat, unless you were inside some place that was officially sanctioned by the authorities. And then in Fort Lauderdale, and this is another trend that's happening. There's these special anti-homeless consulting firms, which consult with city governments on different things. And there's a consultant hired by a number of Florida cities to create the justification as to why it's wrong to feed the hungry outside in city parks. And this man, and I've got his name now, but he actually he had a PhD in counterterrorism and Wahhabism and stuff around bin Laden and all that. That was his background. And yet he became a consultant to cities on why you should stop feeding the hungry outside, and the basic argument that he was promoting. And this is similar to other consultants hired by cities, where they justify saying, oh, you can't, you know, if you feed people outside, they won't get drug rehab and get job retraining and so on. Although, obviously, if all these indoor services, which are good, I mean, they need to happen, were actually getting people employed and off of drugs and so on, as these consultants claim, then there'd be, like, hardly anybody, like, hungry or unemployed or, you know, out in the streets, you know, doing, you know, because the whole problem would be solved because they went to Salvation Army.
We're running out of time, Keith, and I just wanted to make sure people knew how they can get in touch with you. Before we get to that, though, I understand there's a group of sort of armed right-wing vigilantes feeding some homeless somewhere out there.
Yeah, in Dallas, Texas, there was a group of armed people went out this week and served food in defiance of this ordinance that was passed by the Dallas City Council. And so I myself actually have three misdemeanor cases, and go to court again on January 26th. And it's definitely the idea is to silence my participation in protests, because they offered me a plea bargain for a case where I spray painted, returned 33 performance boxes on Pacific Avenue, because that was another angle on how they were attacking the poor and homeless here, is they, without public comment and without any, you know, without prior notice, removed half of the performance boxes on the main street here at Santa Cruz. And so people started getting $300 tickets for playing music or selling jewelry and stuff. And so I went and put the 33 boxes back on. And so they charged me with felony conspiracy and felony vandalism, and arrested my partner, Abby Samuels, for the same thing, even though she had nothing to do with what was going on. And so eventually they dropped the charges to misdemeanor, but they're offering me a plea bargain of 2 months work release